A successful, well-adjusted life must be built upon a solid internal faith and conviction. This means that we must know with inner certainty where we came from, why we are here, and whither we are going. In working with human problems, I have always noticed that the troubled person is the one whose basic beliefs are deficient. Let us see how the doctrine of rebirth supplies a working formula for right conduct. If we have lived in this world before, we bring with us into physical birth the total of our previous abilities and debilities. We are not new creatures, but living souls in the midstream of existence. There is a simple answer, therefore, to the question, where did we come from? We came from our own yesterdays, stretching back over hundreds of thousands of years. The newborn infant will inevitably develop a disposition, bearing witness to the things he has done before, to the persons he has been. The practical result, in conduct, of this knowledge is that it is no longer necessary to blame our associates or environment for our troubles, or to feel that some are born to be happy and others to be miserable. We have earned certain good things for ourselves by former action. We have also made mistakes and permitted false concepts to influence our character. In other words, we are in the process of working out causes which we ourselves set in motion, either in the present life or in former lives. Although we do not normally remember our previous existences, if the law of nature be just, we must be in the place most suitable to our real needs. We come into life to improve ourselves, building new careers upon foundations fashioned long ago and far away. Someone will always ask, if I have lived before, why have I no memory of former lives? Would not such a memory be of the greatest value? Let us think this through together. How many of us can face constructively our memories of the present life? Often the major problem in a neurosis is that the individual is plagued by the things he remembers. But fortunately, nature has a way of submerging memory patterns, thus giving us a greater opportunity to make present decisions without prejudice, self-pity, or morbid recollections. Of course, we have a new brain at each birth, and this unfolds to produce the new personality. Even so, as the brain develops, it is apparent that the soul does bestow impulses, attitudes, and pressures that cannot be fully explained unless they originated in a previous life. Thus, although we may not remember incidents, we certainly bring forward with us the totals of previous accomplishments. Would we actually gain anything if we could look back over the long and painful struggle of growth? Would we live better today if we could recollect all the pain of former births and deaths, the wrongs we had done, the debts we had left unpaid, and the opinions which have burdened our spirit for ages? Is nature not wiser and kinder when it places in our new-fashioned hands the skills we have acquired in the past and invites us to use them in newer and better ways, free from all guilts, remorses, and repentances? This aspect of the doctrine of rebirth also explains the otherwise baffling question of genius. Is it accident, heredity, or the will of God? Each of us has capacities and potentials, and it may be wise to recall that the sons of the great are not always great, and from the most humble circumstances, magnificent human beings have arisen. Are we content to assume that we are merely biological incidents? Where would the justice be if we are only the products of some ancestral bloodstream? I am convinced that if ethics exists, if there is any right or justice in the world, the doctrine of rebirth reveals this more clearly than any other teaching that we know. Some have argued against rebirth on the ground that nature never repeats itself, and it is therefore unreasonable to assume that man should return many times to become involved in similar sequences of occurrences. I do not believe that this argument is sound, for the simple reason that life is a rich and diversified sphere of activity. The doctrine does not teach that we have to learn the same lesson twice. Rather, that there is more than one lesson. Once we have outgrown a mistake, it is no longer a problem. But there is far more to outgrowing than can possibly be accomplished in a single embodiment. The prospect of reliving a difficult career is not attractive. But rebirth teaches that education is progressive, not repetitive. Problems can exist only in those areas where our abilities are undeveloped or insufficient. Some of us, for example, are no longer troubled with possessiveness, but we are still burdened with fear, or worry, or a bad temper. Recognizing our faults, we correct them, and we are then free from them, and have the gracious opportunity of turning our attention to those phases of our characters which are still troublesome. If we bear in mind that it is the soul or psychic self, and not the body that is unfolding, and that the permanent records of growth are preserved in the soul and not the brain, we will appreciate why we are so strongly impelled by our own psychic instincts and intuitions, which make available to us the real picture of our complete selves. If we accept the idea that the conscious soul of man passes from one form to another because of the divine impulse within it to know all things and to achieve all things, it becomes evident why we are here. It is here and now that we must face ourselves and pay the just debts resulting from previous action. To the honest man, this is not a punishment. Our human society decrees that we must meet our obligations. If we borrow money, we must pay it back. If we are improvident, impoverishment is likely to result. If we are unpleasant, we will be lonely and neglected. If we are unkind, we will lose the esteem and respect of our friends. On the more optimistic side, no good deed is without its ultimate reward. What we have earned comes to us, and we have the privilege of planning a constructive destiny, sincerely convinced that we can so live that we deserve greater opportunity and happier circumstances in the future. The doctrine of rebirth, therefore, teaches that life is based upon a merit system, with equality of opportunity, privileges, and responsibility. When we come to know internally that this is true, it gives us a stronger and more lasting faith. There are no longer any accidents. Good and evil are terms to cover our just deserts. Good rewards good, and evil penalizes evil. If we keep the laws governing life, these laws will protect us. And we know as an eternal fact that as we sow, so shall we reap. Most of all, we are encouraged to plan a proper destiny, fully knowing that it is in our own power to earn security and peace of mind, and that when we have earned a better condition, nothing can prevent us from enjoying the results. It is evident that this teaching, with its all-embracing pattern, should also solve the riddle of whither we are going. We are moving forward into the future that we are building for ourselves. Tomorrow is based upon the works of today. As we have lived before and live now, so we shall live again. And the transition of death in no way interferes with the journey of the soul. Why should we fear life? Why should we want to escape into some fabled paradise? We may be uncomfortable in our present life, but if we recognize and correct the causes within ourselves, we can face the future with cheerfulness of spirit. If we live well, there is nothing to fear, here or hereafter. If we understand ourselves and our place in the universal plan, we will want to grow. Perhaps the body we inhabit is fatigued with age, but the life in man cannot and will not accept infirmity or death. The wise look forward to new and greater opportunity for progress and service. It is only the tired and disillusioned who are afraid to contemplate rebirth. Weariness is not due to the universal plan through which we are evolving. It is due only to our own ignorance and the negative attitudes we have not conquered. Once the light shines in our own hearts, we love life and realize the blessed privilege of sharing the good things that life bestows. Thus, indeed, death is dissolved in immortality. For many people, old age and the fear of death seem to close forever the door of opportunity. The materialistic attitude toward death has resulted in the widespread belief that life belongs to the young, and that it is useless to begin new projects in older years. The doctrine of rebirth changes all this by bestowing the conviction that it is never too late to build for the future or to advance some program for self-improvement. We really have no proof that the death of the body is the end of the individual, but as long as we identify ourselves with our bodies, we will fear any circumstance which will injure or destroy that body. Such fear, whether we realize it or not, destroys the dignity of life, even while we live. Yet actually, man cannot experience death, for he is himself part of life, and he instinctively believes that life cannot die. When we accept rebirth, therefore, we sustain one of the deepest of our internal convictions. Inspired by the realization that we move forward along a path of infinite opportunity, we experience a deep and abiding confidence in the divine plan. When we are freed from negative forebodings by our acceptance of immortality, death is no longer the master of destiny, but the wise and faithful servant of life. The doctrine of rebirth brings a wonderful serenity of spirit into our lives. We realize that we live in a good world, with essentially fine people, and we all share together wonderful opportunities for self-improvement. We no longer find it possible to blame others for our own faults or mistakes. Self-improvement remains a constant challenge, but we learn to labor patiently, knowing that competitive procedures, which might bring sorrow or misfortune to others, are unnecessary. Progress is natural, simple, and inevitable. And whatever time is needed for the perfection of any work is available. Excessive ambition, dissatisfaction, envy, jealousy, all these negative elements lose their power to tyrannize and oppress the soul. For we know that we have the right to earn whatever we need for our own happiness and security. What we deserve will come to us. Our labor is to become more deserving. Because I believe in rebirth, I can look forward to the changes of the years without anxiety, bear adversity with patience, certain in myself that all creatures, from the least to the greatest, are growing and unfolding according to the cosmic plan. I can worship God without reservation, convinced that no arbitrary power, superior or inferior, can interfere with the vast program of progress to which we all belong. The past bestows experience. The present, numerous valuable lessons. The future, infinite opportunity. I therefore choose to believe in the doctrine of rebirth because it sustains my veneration for life and reveals to me the loving wisdom of God, the integrity of natural law, and the dignity of the human soul.